Go ahead and open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And tonight we come to another one of these most intimate of the in Christ of the Apostle Paul. Intimate but all powerful. And there's a little liberty that I will take in this tonight because it doesn't specifically say in Christ, it says in him. So I think we can take the same from that, that in him is in Christ. Praise God. 13, verse 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Christ, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Think of that. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God. Now, we're weak, but in Christ, praise God, we live with him in Christ by the power of God too. I want you to think about that. In that same weakness, praise God, in Christ, we live in Christ by the power of God. Once again, I thank the Lord. I don't have to think about this because it's the same life of his sweet son. There's no difference. So it's going to be the same weakness. And it's going to be the same resurrection power. And I thank the Lord as we begin into this. Do you see how thankful we are to pray, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease? See, that's it. That's the whole thing. And you think about the grace that's given to us here, because Jesus Christ, very God of very God, always very God of very God, yet he lived as a man. He lived a life as a man. A man of what? Complete weakness. He didn't come in here as a superman or a strong man or a handsome man, no matter what pictures you see of his paintings. He didn't look like that. He did not look like that. There was nothing about him that anybody was going to desire. And if he looked like them paintings, you go, oh my, that's a handsome fella. That's not what happened. There was a beauty of him that was the beautiful lamb, and that was the beauty of it all. But as that man, he was a man of complete weakness. And the reason he was a man of complete weakness was to manifest the complete trust and confidence in the Father. Think of that. His complete confidence and his complete trust was in his Father, in the Father's will, in the Father's plan, in complete weakness. He was sought to be killed from the moment he was born. Amen? Oh, yes, he was sought. I'll tell you, David said, I was sought as a partridge. Let me tell you something. The Lord was more as a partridge. He was just sought to be killed, period. And that's the way it was going to be. He was provoked, he was despised, he was tempted in every way, the word of God tells us. But yet, even though he was so weak, seemingly helpless, he lived in the Father's complete care and perfect will every single moment. And think of that, the word of God, it says he lived by the power of God. Well, the power of God is the Father's complete care and perfect will. That's the power of God. See, when the Father's perfect will and care is for you, that is the power of God. Is that not what's for you? Amen. His complete care, praise God, and his perfect will, is that not for you? Amen? So praise be to God, the power of God is the favor of God. He favors you. You're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter. We rejoice. That's the power of God. It's not because I think I'm powerful or I think I'm strong or mighty. No, it's the will and the love of the Father to my life. Let's continue to follow this out. Jesus Christ proved to us the care of the Father. Yes, he did. He proved the care of the Father for his sons. What it showed us in his life that nothing was going to happen to Jesus till his appointed time. Amen. Nothing. Even though he was sought to be killed more than anybody that's ever lived. Everyone, they wanted him. The enemy was after him moment by moment. But let me tell you something. Nothing was going to happen to Jesus till his appointed time. Nothing was going to hinder or prevent him from growing and maturing to the precise age of when he would be ready to be offered. And you know what Jesus knew? He knew, praise God, that the Father's will would be done. He knew that he would be glorified. He knew that he would be raised. He knew that he would be seated upon the throne. Think of that, glorified and raised and seated. It sounds a lot like our life, amen? Amen. He's not a respecter of his sons. He's not. We're his sons. This is what he's offered to us. And think about through Christ and in Christ what's offered to us. Christ in you, in us, the hope of glory. To be glorified together with him. To rule and reign jointly together with him. To be seated in the midst of his throne together with him. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. The purpose for the Son and the purpose of the sons of God is still always the perfect will of the Father. And I just rejoice in it. So then in complete weakness, what happened? He was crucified, wasn't he? The innocent lamb to the slaughter. As he said, yes, into my Father's hands. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, he was raised. Amen. Now, praise be to God. We know him in the power of his resurrection. Oh, yes. You think about the power of to know him in that power, resurrection, that risen Savior power. Raised, seated. Now, we thank the Lord that we're raised together with him. We're seated in the heavens in Christ. But think of where that Holy Ghost resurrection power has raised you to by faith. Once again, back to glorify together with him. Amen. Ruling and reigning jointly together with him. Who could ever give you that truth? Who could ever give you that knowledge? Who could ever show and shed abroad in your heart that love that would give you the faith that Jesus loves me that much that he would put me together with him in that place? The Holy Ghost. The power of his resurrection. Praise God. The very power of God. Amen. I thank the Lord. We all go through the same thing. You know what? The Holy Ghost comes and knocks on that heart. Will you receive Jesus? Will you receive him? Will you let him in? Hallelujah. And there, you're saved. Praise be to God. And so thankful that you're saved. But you know from the time that you were saved to the time that you're filled, and then from the time that you're filled, going and yielding and wanting and desiring that truth, the Holy Ghost, to take all the things of Christ and make them yours, that there was a growth. There was a maturity, there was a vision, there was all of these different things. And it was love, the love that was shed abroad, the love that came, the capacity of love that you would begin to really launch out in faith, to believe and understand, yea, the deep things of God, and to take them for your own. Amen. Amen. But see, that can only be taken by love. That's why one's not filled with the Holy Ghost. You won't come into that fellowship. You could see it afar off, but it won't be something that you'll embrace and take for your own. Praise Jesus. We need to pray for one another. But I thank God that we know him in this power. And knowing him in this power, and I mean the power of his resurrection power, we live this by the grace of God moment by moment. I thank God that, you know, we can still get a little down. Sometimes we can get to a place where we think it's over, but yet the resurrection power raises us every time. We can get to a place where we think, oh my, this sin and death might just have overcome me. But he raises us in that resurrection power every time. Oh, I thank God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I see he that's in the world, and I know even my flesh, all it wants to do is doubt and fear. But yet there's greater that's he that's in me. And I thank the Lord because he that is in me has overcome the world. Amen? Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we are in that same weakness. And the Apostle Paul, he told us that the weakness or our infirmities is where all the glory is. Amen. I think that, you know, we crave so much to be strong, to be confident. We need to be confident in the Lord. We need to be confident in Him. That's the only real confidence there is, isn't there? Praise God. When you're confident in the Word of God, you'll walk through life with enlarged steps. You won't fear. You'll understand that there is a requirement. It's a treasure to the Lord. It's the gifts of a husband to a wife. Suffering. And it's the truth. He wants us to suffer together with Him so that we may be glorified together with Him. That suffering is essential. It's required. And it is given. I thank the Lord. We don't, sometimes people think, well, I'm going to do this to suffer. He's called me in to take this vow of something or this vow of something. I don't receive that. I believe I live by faith. I believe He'll bring to me the things that will take me into that suffering together with Him. I believe He is that all-powerful. I believe that His will is that wonderful that He will bring me into the fellowship of His sufferings. Thank you, Jesus. I believe that the things that I think that I will suffer together with Him honestly can be something that I can actually think, and I shouldn't say think, it becomes my idol. It becomes something that becomes my trophy. By the grace of God, I pray that would be a trophy I would lay down very quickly to understand that God, again, He knows. And yes, He does know. But brothers and sisters, I thank God. It's where all the glory is in those infirmities. Because it's there, the weakness, and in that weakness, the power of Christ, the Word of God, we'll get there in a minute, but it rests upon us. And in Him we live by the power of God. Jesus, think of this, who took upon Him our weakened flesh, didn't He? Amen? See, He didn't come differently. He came as one of us. And I love that. It's marvelous. But yet, He was without sin, remaining holy and sinless, even in our flesh. It's exactly where He condemned sin in the flesh. Praise God. By living what we could not live, perfect, He condemned sin in the flesh. And in Christ, because He did that, in Christ that lives in me, I assume that very position with Him, even in that weakened flesh. Even in that weakened flesh. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. We need to go over to Romans chapter 8. Let's just read it together. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See, it wasn't the law's fault, it was the flesh's fault. Huh? Praise God. Come on. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Really, 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 really listen to that. It's not that the law or the righteousness of the law was fulfilled by Him out yonder. He fulfilled, praise God, He fulfilled the righteousness of the law in us. It's right in here. Right in this sinful flesh. He fulfilled the righteousness of the law right in here. Because this is where He came to live. Isn't it just, and I will say, isn't it just so moronic that we try to perfect this flesh. when he's already fulfilled the righteousness of the law in me. Praise God. Oh, it's just so beautiful. I just want to go over here and sit down and meditate for a moment. But see, the power of God in my weakness, the power of the finished work lives in me, is fulfilled in me. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. That's just what the blood does. Bing. Hallelujah. And it's done. By faith. Amen. And by faith, praise God, we'll grow in that. Not by sight, not by now. We've got to go work it so I can see it on the outside. No. I trust him for it. I believe him. I begin to live in thankfulness and joy. In such capacity and such a cup that's full and running over that, oh my, it begins to change the things of my life. But I still don't use it as the monitor. Oh no. I just want to be focused on the word of God. The very righteousness of God that was fulfilled in us. Praise the Lord. I just want to just be happy and thankful. Now let's read on, because I know some will say, well, now wait a second, you got to finish reading that verse. Oh yes, I will. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that is so beautiful, it doesn't put it back upon you. Quit walking after the flesh. Quit trying to do that, because that's not you anymore. That's not you. That's not you. Okay. I don't know. There could be one wondering out here. Let's go down to verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Man, I sure feel like I'm in the flesh. Are you supposed to go by feeling? No. No. He tell me right there, I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit. Oh, here we go again. If the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now let's go on over to 1 John 4. If the Spirit of God dwell in you. I'm so thankful the Spirit of God dwells in us. Every son of God, every child of God, that's the Spirit of God that dwells in you. Amen. There ain't any other spirit. Hallelujah. And here you go, if you really want to understand this. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, it says, hereby know, isn't that wonderful? Know, knowledge. Ye, the Spirit of God. Hereby know ye, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is, it is in the world. Ye are of God. Amen. Ye are of God. Little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, the Spirit of God, hallelujah, than he that is in the world. So I thank the Lord. I zip right back there to Romans 9. And Lord, I really embrace this. I'm not in the flesh, but I'm in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God dwells in me. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Hallelujah. That, I'll tell you what, is not just peace with God. You take that, and that's the peace of God. I got the peace of God. Now, that's grace. And I just want to settle down in that grace and thank the Lord. Again, not going to the Word of God for a handbook, but I come in here Because all it is a love book of what he did. Love transforms lives, always does. You can't rule and just rain upon people to get them to do things. And I think of these countries, these different ones that had built up militaries under these regimes that were so onerous, that required these ones, you have to go, and this is how it's going to be, and you're going to fight, and they would march so right, and all of these different things. But there was something lacking, and that was love of country. And here, they got kids that were 16 and 17 and 18 and 19, and they stuck them in U-boats. And they put them across onto the shores of Normandy, and they ran. And they were afraid, but they went. And not because they were forced, but they loved one another. They were a band of brothers, and they loved freedom. They loved a country. How much more is this?
Thank you, Jesus.
To love. And what God's love works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. The love that draws hearts that are sincere. Love that's despised by the wicked, the Antichrist spirit. So, go on. Pass by. Seek out that fellowship of love. But praise the Lord, it only gets better. Now we go back to last week's in Christ, that third heaven. Remember, as Paul said, oh, the man I hope to be. Isn't that marvelous? The man I hope to be. That fully finished and perfect man reigning with Christ. Look back over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. We read this last week. Paul said, of that man in Christ, in that third heaven, that finished one, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now we're back to that weakness, see? The weakness that we live by the power of God. The same weakness of our precious Savior. In Christ we live by the power of God. So I'm going to glory in my infirmities, and here's why, verses 6 and 7. So Paul said, for though I would desire to glory, because that fully finished man that's like him in the measure and the stature and the fullness of God, how could you not really just really come apart in glorying in that man? He said, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. Thank the Lord put that in Paul's heart, but God took care of that. Men tried to do that. Paul knew it wasn't right, but you know, Paul couldn't even perform that. You can't perform anything. God had to do it. And here's how he did it. And lest I should be exalted above measure, because of that knowledge, because of that vision, because of this bridal message. That's what it is. Through the abundance of the revelations that the Lord showed me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That means a blow by a fist. The Lord sent a messenger of Satan to hit him right in the gut. Boom. And how did he do that? With that thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. See, brothers and sisters, the bridal truth, this wonderful revelation of the measure and the stature and the fullness of God in us, in this flesh, this revelation. God knows that, and God knowing that, God, in his faithfulness and in his great knowledge, he sends thorns in the flesh. even a messenger of Satan to buffet us, lest I would be exalted above measure. I always think of, you know, how ones would say, well, it had to do something physically with Paul. No way. I really don't believe that. There might be a few that would have turned away. But when you got everyone in Asia that turns away and forsakes you, there's a lot of different things going on. Come on. Brother, do you really have to go there? Yeah, we do. He wants the perfection of Christ in us. That's going to happen one way, through weakness and infirmity. Verses 9 and 10. He tells us here. And he said to me, here's what's going to happen, honeys. My grace is sufficient for thee. And by the way, in verses 8, you know, Paul sought him three times. Lord, take this thing from me. This isn't helping me in any way. This isn't helping my testimony. Because that's really what this was about. This was about him being exalted above measure to all these others because of the revelation of Christ. This had to do with testimony. This had to do with him, he thinking how he was going to reach people and to be able to encourage people in the truth. You've got to take this from me. I'll be a better Christian. I'll have a better testimony. I'll be able to reach more people. It'll be more sincere to them. Ah. He said to me, my grace, Paul, that's the sufficiency, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. And I love that distresses. It's a big one. It's not just being on a ship that's going to wreck. It's when your own flesh is a shipwreck. Get it? Praise God. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise God. See, I read about Paul and I read about his journeys and things of that nature. I don't think he ever got too frightened about a shipwreck. No, he didn't. I don't think he was even that frightened about being stoned or sought to be beaten and a lot of things. I'm not saying it was something that was joyous for the moment. But I don't think that he feared that. I think there were things that he wanted rid of his flesh. But God said, oh, I know you, honey. And I know how you're going to really understand and see my grace. And if you can't see Romans chapter 7 in that, then God help you. So, isn't it wonderful? Jesus made himself weak. You know that? He did. But do you know that you can't do that? Do you know you can't make yourself weak? No, you can't. I can't make myself anything. There's only one that can bring that weakness. It has to be him. Amen. It has to be him and those infirmities that he brings. And it's in his faithfulness that he afflicts us. Praise God. And he knows that. And I thank the Lord because oftentimes we don't even know what that weakness really is. You may live a life and you've never had a problem in any certain area that pops up. It didn't just pop up. It was a thorn in. Boom. Are you glorying in your infirmities? Praise God. The power of Christ. See, the power to see the grace that is given. Grace, brothers and sisters, giving us thorns that makes us weak so we can survive one way, by faith. By faith. See, these thorns that the Lord gives us, you can't deal with. You in your strength cannot deal with. You go to him and just plead, get it out of me. Get this away from me. I can't survive this way. And then the Lord, if you'll listen to him, comes back and says, honey, if I pull that away, we ain't going to have this fellowship and it's not going to grow. So he gives us this so that we survive one way by faith. He gives us the thorn that we survive one way, and that's in his strength. He gives us the thorn that we survive one way. We must trust in his love. Amen? See, because I couldn't understand why I would have this thorn if I didn't trust in his love plan. Because he wants this power to rest upon me. He wants this all-powerful word of grace to come in, comfort me, and tell me time and time again, oh honey, that my life of righteousness is fulfilled in you. Every time the Lord rings that across my heart, I shake my head. It's unbelievable. Not in disbelief. I believe him. But do you ever shake your head? That's just unbelievable. In a good way, because it's what is. But that's what God does. He made us weak. He made us weak. That the good that I want to do, I can't. He made us weak. That the evil I don't want to do keeps coming back. That's the good fight of faith. Praise the Lord. I can't see it in me. I can't feel it in me. But I know by the grace of God, Lord, you are performing it in me. Because you know why? You promised it, Lord, and that's all I need. Amen. Is the promise of God enough for you? Amen. Is the promise of God enough for you? Amen. Really think about that. Oh, Jesus, let the promise, your promise, be enough for me. That I don't have to go by sight, that I don't have to see acts, that I know your ways, that your promises are enough for me. Lord, that's all I need. That you will finish the good work of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Think of what he's given us. Going back over to Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Oh, what rejoicing. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed the same to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, oh my, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? And say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Your promise is enough for me. Your word, by God's grace, is enough for me. Now praise God, brothers and sisters. Praise God. Thank the Lord for it. As Paul said, you're partakers of my grace. Thank God for that sweet brother. Thank God for this same spirit. Praise God that was given to Paul, and not to Paul only, but to all them also that love his appearing. That we can cry in triumph. Romans 7:25. We can cry in triumph, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Are you thanking God? Oh my. And now the power of God, that the power of his might. Hallelujah. That now we walk in the Spirit's power. The full love, no fear power. We walk in the full love, no fear power. We walk in the full love, no condemnation power. Amen. We walk in, praise God, this wonderful power that we're not careful anymore. There's no more trying. We're just prayerful. We're living Christ in me power. It's just that power, the power of God, the favor of God, that his will is for me, that his promises, praise God. It's enough.
Amen.
So I believe we can conclude, brothers and sisters, let's not mind being weak in him. Not only let's not mind it, let's embrace it. It's time to praise him. It's where all the power is. His strength made perfect in my weakness. Isn't it all about him and us? Really, isn't that what it is? Have we come to the place, Lord, there's all these songs, oh, I want people to see Jesus in me and Jesus. Well, then who is that? It's him. Amen. Are we there now? That it's his power, it's his strength in us? How does he do that? He sends a messenger of Satan to buffet you. Are you sure you really want, Jesus to shine in you? All right, you sure? Give him a punch in the stomach. Boom. You sure you want Jesus to shine in you? Because you know those ignorant and foolish and young Christians, they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand. He has a way of cutting it. Yes, he does. His power, his strength in us. By the grace of God, may we never be down about our weakness. Don't be down. Rejoice. Can you be like James? Isn't that something everybody talks about, James? He was a legal guy. And, he tilted legal. And wasn't he the guy that says, count it all joy when you fall into various types of temptation? I never heard a legal guy say that. You ever heard a legal guy say that? Brother, isn't it great? All the manifold temptations, let's rejoice. Oh, legal guy said, how could you? Well, exactly. There's the friends of Job right there to just peck you to death. Isn't it something? Isn't that foolish? Well, James, he swung a little bit legal. That's the dumbest thing. The word of God's the word of God, folks. Know this. Don't try to think that the Lord's trying to say something else because this guy didn't yield to God. That's God's word. It's God's word. Go back and listen to the James studies. I'll tell you what, there's bridal truth all over that. I want his power to reign. Amen? That's what this is about. And remember this. This is the last thing. God never plays it safe. If you're looking to play safe, God don't play that way. He does not play it safe. He's always going to take you to the edge. And he's going to shove you off. It's kind of like that mama eagle in the nest. Oh, honey, get over there and look out. See how pretty that is? And then she flaps a wing and you're in a free fall. Because he wants you to soar. He takes you to the heights, not to just show you, but to cause you to fly. Here's our last verse of the night. We'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Come on now. This is what we're rejoicing in. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that wonderful that Peter finally got around Paul? Because I'm going to tell you something, without hearing that full joy message, he never would have been able to say it. It had to be the word of his grace that would bring that out of a guy that was so strong in himself for him to glory in his temptations. I hope you have chills. I sure do. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God.